Good day, everyone. Oh, let's see. Hello. Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas, and we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. So we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. We left off in chapter 4, about verse 16. That's where we'll jump in. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. These are pretty strong words, fairly glossed over. People who sat in darkness and in the region and the shadow of death. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. That seems rather odd to me. Someone walks by and says something like that, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And you just jump up, you leave your job, and you're gone. That seems rather peculiar. So they straightway left their nets. They just dropped their work there, and they followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, yesterday we talked about Adam's decree that for this cause, and then we talked about how when Yahshua, Jesus, left Nazareth, he left his family, he left off serving his parents, because the commandment to obey your father and mother extends much further than just doing what they say when you're a child. And we see this demonstrated throughout the scripture, that it is not the American way, though. I'll tell you that much. The Hebrew, Israelitish, the biblical law of God, the way that he meant for families to be, is not the way that is practiced in America, and to the shame of the corporate church, is not taught in the corporate church today. It is taught in the corporate church the way of the world and the way of romance. You send your children to the public school system. You send your children to pagans to be educated, to be taught all of the good little pagan ways, and to become good little status and citizens of the kingdoms of this world rather than the kingdoms of our Heavenly Father, and to obey and understand and let his law and his word be a lamp to their feet. They are schooled in the ways of the world and in pagan idolatry. So that's where it begins. And that teaching, they teach them romance. And of course, that's reinforced by all of the music of the world, where they praise and they worship romance. They worship the creation rather than the creator in song and dance. And it's reinforced on the radio. So they listen to it with all the pop music and pop singing that goes on and all of the idolatry that comes with that. That's what your children are learning when you drop them off into the pagan culture and follow the pagan ways that have been adopted by the governments of men, the kingdoms of this world in America. And like I said, to the shame of the corporate Christian church, they have adopted all of these ways, lock, stock, and barrel. As a matter of fact, many of them get angry because I say the things that I'm saying, right now. And the other thing that they adopt, the way of the world, is that when your children become 18 years old or shortly thereafter, you want to get them out of the house. And some parents have it easier than others because they have enough money to send their children off to pagan universities to be totally paganized. So any vestige of Christianity, any vestige of faith that they may have learned at the corner edifice called the corporate church. And when I say corporate, I'm not talking about the corpus, the body of Christ. I'm talking about the corporation that is in bed with the state. I'm talking about a state church. Under whatever name it is, it's incorporated with the state, and it is in bed with the church. It is an abominable thing. And though most people don't even realize, they're so deceived and deluded, and their eyes are so closed that they have no clue as to what is really going on and who's in charge of their church and who the Lord is over their church. They have two heads, and as I quote a friend of mine who says, anything with two heads is a monster. And that's what you have in this corporate church. So anyway, they teach them in all the ways of idolatry. They send them off to the pagan public schools to become totally paganized and to practice idolatry and romance and statism and other forms of idolatry. It's reinforced by the popular music that comes with the peer pressure, the peer grouping, which is unbiblical, because a man who has fools for a friend is, you know, whoever is a companion of fools, well, you are a fool. And in the public school system, they purposefully segregate you from people that are not your age. And then they have teachers over you who are to be your mentors, who are teaching you the pagan, well, they're just following the pagan routine, what they're told to do by the state. And they teach you that your parents are fools. And religion is nonsense, and the Bible is just a book of fables. And when you're 18 years old, you're supposed to go out on your own, not serve your parents, as it was commanded. And Jesus, like I said, Yahshua, Jesus, he repeated the proclamation that for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. And that cause was marriage. Yes, children are to honor, obey, and serve their parents until they get married or they have a higher calling from a higher authority. And until that higher authority calls them, they are to obey their parents, the highest authority in their life. And even after they get married, they should honor and obey their parents in the Lord with qualifications. A parent should not usurp or try to control with undue control the household of their children after they're gone and married either. You see, that's a great disservice also. But anyway, so Yahshua, he had that higher calling on his life, and he is the one who can make the higher calling because his name proclaims who he is. His name is the name of the Creator with salvation as a suffix. Yahushua is his name. And every Hebrew, Israelite man, when they heard the name above all names, when they heard this man and they heard his name, they knew what that name meant. Yes, there were other men with that name before, like Joshua, that's our English translation today of the name of the man who we call Joshua. The same name, Yahushua, his salvation, the salvation of our Creator. But that was his name, and that's what his name meant. He was God in the flesh, the Creator, become man. And when he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, that higher calling was above their work, it was above their father, it was above their families, because we know that Peter was a married man. He had a family. He had a wife. Did he abandon his wife and family? Absolutely not. His wife and his children stayed with his family because the Hebrews had family government. They had family clans. His wife and his children were not abandoned. They were taken care of by his extended family because families stayed together, and that is the way of our Creator in the government that he set up for families. And that form of family government has been labeled patriarchy. The father of that family is the head of that family, and until he passes that authority on to the eldest son, who is to, it says, receive the inheritance, that's how most people understand it. The Hebrew people did not practice inheritance the way it is practiced in America today. They practice inheritance as not only receiving the land, receiving the inheritance of the land, but receiving all of the responsibility, all the familial responsibility that came with it. And that meant taking care of the widows and orphans. Because when Peter left his wife and his children behind, at the call, at this higher calling, his children and his wife became like a widow and an orphan, or at least in that position, though not technically widows and orphans, but they were to be taken care of. And also our Heavenly Father had provision for widows and orphans. So when you see the reference to widows and orphans in the law, you know that he provided for a widow to not remain a widow. A widow, and I'm speaking of a woman who has lost her husband, was immediately no longer a widow. If her husband had a brother, the brother was to take that widow in and make her his wife and take those children in and raise them up to his brother. And if his brother had no seed, he was to raise up a seed to his brother. The child would still be his, the son would still be his, but as an act of obedience, that's what it was all about. And we've talked about that when we went through the Old Testament and we went through the laws, but just giving a little refresher there, I feel like it's part in the context here, it fits in because we see this calling away of these men from their work, and in this one case, these brothers from their father who they're serving on his ship, his fishing boat, mending the nets, and he calls them, and they immediately get up and they leave their father and they follow Yahushua, that is Jesus. And Jesus went about all Galilee, in verse 23 of chapter 4 here, teaching in their synagogues. Yeah, he'd walk into the synagogue and he'd teach, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, I don't believe that the synagogues were run like the corporate churches of today. In the corporate church, you know, you have a state church that is a 501c3 not-for-profit corporation, and people attend there and they give gifts to the church and they take tax deductions. And that is the privilege that the church gets from the state for following certain rules or governing powers of the state. They will not do certain things. And some of them now even consider it immoral to do some of the things that the state prohibits, even though those things are not prohibited by the law of God or by the law of the Holy Scripture. Talk about mixed up morality, the morality of the state over the law of God. And I'm not sure that in the synagogues that I'm sure they didn't have a preacher who they hired to come in and put on a show every week for them. You know, you study up all week and you have it all together, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. There are men that are called. There are men that are in the corporate church and have no clue that they are in a state-run church because they have a cloud in their mind that is hiding that from them. And sometimes when it is revealed to them, they don't like that truth. They hate that truth so much that they don't recognize it or give it any cognizance. And I believe at that point they become guilty of ignorance. And by ignorance, I mean they ignore the word of truth that is given to them. Because what did the prophet say? He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge." And what that means is, you know, ignorance, dumb on purpose. They ignore the truth. And he said, and the prophet went on to say, speaking for the Creator himself, he says, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject your children, your sons and your daughters from being kings and priests for me." That's a terrible word. That's a terrible thing. But it is true, as terrible as it may be. The truth can be a terrible thing if you're on the wrong side of it. The truth is that most people will not choose the kingdom of God in their lifetime. Most people will choose to pay the price for their own sins. That's right, pay the price for their own sins. There's only one thing wrong with that plan, because Yahshua paid the price for our sins. We can take advantage of what he did for us. And when we go into the grave, when our mortality, our time of mortality comes to its end, and our body goes into the grave, and the grave will say, "Your sins are paid. I have no claim on you." And we will go to that first resurrection, because his blood covers our sins. And as he rose from the dead, so shall we rise from the dead. But those who choose to pay the price for their own sins, those who hate Yahshua, those who hate his law, those who choose not to repent of their wicked ways, because without repentance, there is no forgiveness. Is that a profound statement? But it's a true statement. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. If you don't repent, you won't be forgiven. And most people will not repent. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit, the work that he is doing in their life. And they say it's not from God. They say the work of the Holy Spirit trying to change them, trying to renew their minds, trying to write the law of God in their hearts so that they can be his people, when they reject that and say it's not of God, that they're going to go to heaven without it because of some promise that a man made or an assurance that some man made when they walked down the Romans road, they walked down the aisle of perhaps of a big stadium and they repeated some prayer or magic words like witchcraft, reducing the gospel to witchcraft, and that person assured them that they are saved forever and nothing can ever snatch them out of God's hand. Then they reject the work of the Holy Spirit, that regenerating work, that imputation of his righteousness that results in the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit is good works, because righteousness and salvation lead to good works. They certainly do. So salvation brings forth good works, and if the works don't follow, then the salvation isn't real. So parents, you godly parents out there, don't ship your children off to the pagan universities to have their brains washed of everything good or what little is good in them. Let your children stay home and in obedience to our Heavenly Father serve you until they go out on their own, because that is their rightful place under the law of God. From the proclamation that was made by Adam when he was first brought his wife, when he first entered into marriage, this was the most intelligent man that ever lived. Yes, he exercised 100% brain capacity, and Yahushua quoted him when he said, "For this cause." And of course, we'll get to that, and we'll cover that more when we get to it. And children, in obedience to God, do not, you young men and women, coming of age, in the world at least, 18 or 21, whatever, 17, 18, 21 years old, whatever coming of age, when you think you should be free of your parents and go out and be your own man, no, in obedience to our Heavenly Father, you should serve your parents and be obedient to them. until the Heavenly Father gives you a wife, and you should marry in obedience to your parents, not in disobedience. Men, you want to marry a young woman? You go to the young woman's father, and you ask him in obedience to parents. And if he says no, you leave it off, and you can say, okay, yes, Heavenly Father, she's not the one for me. That would be a mistake. I know I had it fixed in my mind. I know I wanted that. But what's more important to me is obedience to you, Heavenly Father. So I will not marry in disobedience. And you just wait. That's it. You be obedient and you serve your parents. Or you serve wherever the Heavenly Father has put you if you cannot serve your parents. But for children to be obedient, we need obedient parents. So don't kick your children out. Let them serve you. Okay, let's see. Matthew chapter 4 in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And we're about to go into a break, so we'll pick up here when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website at crosstheborder.org and send me an email. I really would like to hear from you.